Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where we're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend, December the 8th. We're rolling towards the holidays, Barbecue Bob, and that means we're in that season where there are holiday parties, and if you've got your grill put away, get it back out because it's a great tool to use when you're entertaining, because the smoke and the mess is left outside, guys, when mama wants the house clean and you want to tear up some great hors d'oeuvres or meals, then it's a great place to do it right out on the deck. I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Yeah, you're right, Jop. Thanks, and welcome to the Grilling Guys, the smokiest show on the airwaves, coming to you every weekend on a great station in your market. And we appreciate you taking a little time. If you don't have time on the weekends to dial us in, don't forget, we'll send this show absolutely free to your phone, and you can listen to our sexy voices on our podcast. So we'll send it right to you, baby.
Costs nothing extra to hear Bob's sexy voice, right? Yeah. Get what you pay for. Just remember that. Bob, we had a nice time on Thursday night down at Allen Bob Sports. They're down on 68th Street and 131 on the south side of Grand Rapids, Michigan. And they had a little ice fishing seminar slash holiday sale. And we were able to go down there and partake in that event. And we had some good vittles, man. We had some venison. I had about 15 pounds of round venison round steak that did it a little different. Just cut it in strips that were about 4 inches long and put them on a little skewer. And I had marinated it in kind of a wild game slash teriyaki profile, just one of the a store-bought marinade, you know, it's a brown liquid. Had only put it in there for about a half hour, 45 minutes. Didn't want to overpower it, but just needed a little bit of a flavor profile on it. That's so lean that I wanted to get a little moisture back into it. So we did all those skewers, you know, cooked those on the tech, right? And we just roll them over a couple times, maybe just 2 minutes. It's a little, maybe half inch by half inch cube, about 4 inches long. I just cut across that round steak and took strips of it out of there and wove it on a little skewer. Those turned out pretty good.
What was that marinade?
It was a Gresso, A-G-G-R-E-S-S-O, came from Meyer, is where this one came.
Sounds like something cheerleaders used to say, Aggresso.
Yeah, right. No, they'd spell it. They wouldn't say it, right? Yeah. But it's just, again, it's a kind of a clear brown liquid. I would say more of a teriyaki type profile, but not maybe sweet.
That was good.
Yeah. And then
sometimes it's cool just to buy your marinade. There's living proof.
Right.
You know, you don't always have to just be, you know, Mr. Original, because sometimes you don't have the ingredients or you don't have the time.
Right.
And you just want to do what's easy around the holidays. That's the deal.
Well, and Wednesday night I was, you know, you were busy. I stepped in this time. Most of the time you do this, but I stepped in. It was 3 hours of prep.
Here's the cool thing about Allen Bob's. Every year, we've done this probably 5-6 years now. Every year when we do it, they have all their employees bring in wild game and fish. And we know that Scott catches buku walleye.
Yep.
So we had lots of walleye.
About 11 pounds.
Yeah.
Is what we had. And
so we don't have to raid our freezers, because there's no venison in my freezer right now.
Right.
Sorry to say.
Yeah. And then the other thing we did is the guys provided us with about 7 pounds of venison burger. And it's pretty lean.
Yep.
So what I did is I went and bought 5 more pounds of beef burger, 80-20, and I mixed it right in, put in a seasoning profile, made 100 sliders, and we grilled those as well. Super easy, guys. Take your venison. All we did is grill them. I mix it in with a burger, put a seasoning profile in there, a little dried onion, garlic, salt, pepper. That's about it. And then we grill those things off on the grill, and they're you know what a slider is, right? It's a half-size burger, right? Take them off. Basically, we just put a little spicy mustard and a dill pickle chip on top of that bun. It's a two-biter, man. Perfect.
I felt like I was at White Castle.
Yeah. Only better.
So, you know, if you're going to do those, I would say this. If you're going to do those with just venison, which is
that's okay too.
Very much an awesome way to do it.
Yep.
What I do is I put a little Old World Olive Company's garlic EVO in there, and then I put a little bit of blue cheese, and I use a fresh Spanish onion, so I get a nice, strong onion profile, not a sweet onion, but a Spanish, mm-hmm. yellow Spanish onion, and that way you have a little hydration for that very lean
right.
thing. So the oil and the fresh onion versus you put a nice fatty burger in there, so we got some fat. You have to have fats to break down the proteins, right?
Right.
And to keep your pancreas and everything working, right?
Yeah.
I'm on a diet right now, so I'm studying all that stuff.
Right.
And
he was a good spectator on Thursday night. I'm just going to tell you
no,
that.
I snuck plenty when you weren't watching. But you got to fall off the wagon once in a while to
right.
know where it is.
Right. Yeah, right. How do you know where the wagon is?
So, and we also had, thanks to our great sponsor, Better Made, we had the vinegar and salt chips to go with those
perfect.
Fish. Perfect. It was I think the chips might have been the highlight of the night
because yeah.
those I definitely fell off the wagon on. I had to take care of some people. My cousin came over to install those wonderful cabinets you sold me, and he's from the east side of the state, Birmingham. He loves barbecue, and he's like one of our biggest fans. He's a podcaster.
Yeah.
So I made him and my neighbor each a brisket, and I just threw them on my silverback. And if you go to our Facebook page, / The Grillin' Guys, give us a like. But you'll see on there, I took pictures of all the steps. What I failed to do was take pictures of the finished product and slicing it. Because,
Bob.
I was I was working pretty hard.
Someday you'll learn how to tell a story. There's a punchline at the end, buddy,
I was working pretty hard to get ready for all this cabinet stuff. So doing the briskets on the side was an added chore, so I'm happy to get the pictures I did, but the final product, there's still a chunk in my fridge. If you want to, I'll take a picture of my refrigerator open.
Right, yeah. Yeah, you've got that in place.
Because the finished product is the best-looking part.
Sure.
But the cool thing is, the main part is here, I did take some cool shots of trimming a brisket and prepping it. So that's a big deal if you want to make a nice brisket, is to trim it properly. And again, this was pretty fast job of trimming. It wasn't maybe my best, but it does give you an idea if you don't do a lot of briskets as to what my opinion is on trimming a brisket.
Right. And if you've got time to watch that, do that, because Bob does this very well. The other option that you have is go over to Sobey Meats. He'll trim a brisket for you. You pay about $1 more a pound for it, but it's a wash, guys. I'm just telling you, because what Bob's trimming off is a few big veins of fat that are on there, and those cause weight.
Yep.
And you're paying by the pound.
Here's the cool thing.
So,
here's the cool thing with those. I have a basket hanging in my wife's lilac bush outside our bedroom window, and a little bit of our siding is cedar. Those things, my sawed-off is taking care of most of them, but so I'm now feeding them suet. So the brisket trimmings are hanging in that basket to keep those little
off the side of your house on your cedar
right.
trim.
So yeah. Keep that in mind. Also,
I don't know if you're attracting them in more or you're just diverting their attention.
I'm trying to pre-feed them.
I see.
But some other time I'll tell you about how not to install a gas line. Anyway.
No, that's coming up in the next segment. I cannot let that one pass. Coming up next, Bob blows up the neighborhood. Stick with us. We'll be back. Drip drying in the summer breeze. After jumping into Calico Creek. I was walking down an old...
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orinsaugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to fennvalley.com.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey, and we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
Howdy, it's Barbecue Bob from the Grillin' Guys. We're working hard on Operation GI Barbecue, which is an effort to send a plane load of barbecue to our troops. Right now, go to GIBBQ.com, look at the Sapphire Ceramic Grill on auction. You can bid on this $2,000 ceramic grill package at RepoCast.com. That's SAFFIRE at RepoCast. So remember our troops at GIBBQ.com.
Welcome back. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Right before we left, Bob kind of slid one under the door and said, did I tell you about my problem with my gas line? For those of you that don't know, Bob has a background as a mechanical contractor in a previous life. So I'm keenly interested in the gas line story. So I take it away, Bob.
I hear the bus backing up.
Yeah.
Beep, beep. Thanks for that, Scorpions, Brian. Love wins the change. We're going to get some wins of change on this segment.
Oh, no. Do not change the subject.
Okay. So I you know, between Standard Kitchens and Garrett's Appliance, I'm going to have a $2 million kitchen.
Right. Right. For just a fraction of the cost.
I got it for way less.
Yeah.
So getting ready, 2 days ago, Garrett's brought out more of my appliances, and we moved the range. I got a Thermador, really cool range.
Oh, yeah. And, it's a cooking machine, baby.
So I had to totally rework my gas pipe. So I go down in the basement, and I have a drop ceiling in that portion, and I find what I think is the gas line. So up in the kitchen, I take out the stack coming up. It's like a four-footer coming up really high, which is weird. That's how the house was built. And the new one for that Thermador, you got to have it like within a 3-inch gap on the floor. So
right.
I got to bring it over and have it real small for the little knockout because the new ranges are tight. They slide them all the way back. You know the drill. Well, so I take the 4-foot rise out of the kitchen and I go down in the basement and put my pipe wrench on the remainder of it and start taking it off. And I pull it off and then another 4-foot section falls down. And I'm like, well, how's that work? And it won't come all the way down because there's something connected to it. Well, I had a flexible line on the dryer, which is right behind it in the next room.
Oh, yeah, right.
So,
right side, left side of the wall, right?
Yeah, yeah. There's like a 5-inch difference.
That's a 2x4 wall.
But the other one,
wall.
I had to go into the bathroom to see.
Yeah.
And wow. Yeah, so it was
so were you filling the house with gas when you did that?
No,
you
had it all turned gas off. Was shut off. It
all
just
right.
I created another job.
Right.
And if you've ever done black pipe work in the basement in a joist, you'll know that pipe wrenches don't fit very well.
And it's dark.
Well, you can solve that, but right. but the pipe wrench getting on the pipe up there, you got to use the little bitty one, and it's a son of a
bust
gun.
Your knuckles.
When I put them in 30 yeah. years ago, I wrenched the crap out of them,
right.
so they did not want to come loose. And I had propane then, so I was afraid of a gas leak.
Right.
So there's the how not to install a gas line.
Well, or just figure out which one you're grabbing. If, honey, I'm wiggling this one. Is this the right one? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Honey wasn't there, though, was she? So
no.
This is Bob doing it on his own. I get it.
It's a solo deal.
I get it. We're dudes. We do that. Then you got to explain everything. If she's standing there helping you, you got all kind of splaining to do.
Right.
And it's just easier to just not do that.
And I am back in the HVAC business, of course. I work for Carrier. So if you need a furnace right now and you're cold, get a Carrier.
Just but word up, he's not in the installation business. So you're cool. You can trust him.
Yeah. Well, anybody can make a mistake, Randy.
I understand.
If you actually bother to try and do the work.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Yes. Well, my team put your kitchen together, so no, they did.
We could talk about that.
Right. And thanks to Rob out in Ada at Standard Kitchens, he did a fabulous job of putting together Barbecue Bob's kitchen. I trusted him with it, and he did a fabulous job. So we're all
So
good.
Let's talk about grilled
yeah,
flank.
Yeah, let's
but,
do that.
But first of all, this is a juicy show, and that's because I bothered to stop and pick up some Petoskey Brewing Juicy. It's a New England style IPA. It tastes very much like the popular M43, but it's from Petoskey, an awesome legendary brewery up north that's been around about 15 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think of that?
These are fastly becoming my new favorite category.
It's easy.
These New England IPAs, they've just got a little more depth to them than a lot of the other just IPAs that are out there. And again, a lot of the IPAs get pretty hoppy. The New England's tend to have that mellowed out a little
really
bit.
Really nice.
And they're a cloudy beer. And what you say, when you put this in a pint glass, it's a cloudy looking, and I don't really know why that is. We should talk to these guys.
Well, see, here at iHeart Studios, all they have is styrofoam cups, so I can't see the cloudiness.
But you can taste it. Right, yeah. It's a little thicker.
Tastes cloudy, and
it's got a frothy head, not a foamy head.
We live in West Michigan; it's cloudy all the time here.
Right,
so it's like Seattle on Lake Michigan. So, grilled flank steak. Let's actually get to this stinking show here. Jeez, there's a book that I have here from my good friend Carl Stradoff, who bought me this for Christmas years ago. It's called Wood Fired Cooking. The lady's name is Mary Carlin. I'm thinking we had her on years ago, and it's probably time to have her back. Maybe I'll call her and see if she can come back next week.
Well, you have
an
autographed copy.
Yeah. Well, this is it's called Wood Fired Cooking, and this thing is this chick can really cook. I don't necessarily agree with everything she has in here, of course, like you don't with any cookbook, right?
Right.
It's always opinion. So you're going to vary, but you can take any one of these recipes and put your touch on it
right.
if you have an ego problem like some of us do. I'll admit
Can't it. Just read it. I got to rewrite it.
Yeah. Oh, that's not right. So anyway, this one's really cool. I'm going to post it on our website again. I think it's there. It's called
It might not be there if you can't remember what it's called.
Wood-fired cooking. I don't know if we did post it. I don't think I did because I don't like to plagiarize, and I don't think she gave us permission. But I'm going to call her and see if we can't get this on the website. But it's just a wonderful way to do backstraps. And
so are we in venison again, or
she,
are you?
Yeah, she actually uses a flank steak. I like doing it with backstraps because I don't know. So many people look for ways to do their back straps that are unique and different. But basically, tell the folks how to make a back strap into a nice flat piece of meat.
Well, you can do it two ways. You can actually just cut little steaks off it. But what we typically do is we'll go down the length of it from one end to the other. And kind of my easiest visual on this is a jelly roll, right? You've seen a jelly roll with a little jelly between the rolls of the cake. And you're trying to do the same thing with this backstrap, is that you go down it lengthways, and then you start with – you need a sharp knife for this, okay? Because you don't need to do 9 saw cuts. You want to draw the knife through it roll a little bit of it away, draw the knife through it again, and what you're going to do is you're going to flatten this thing out, and it's going to end up being rectangular if you had a full strap, and it'll be narrower at one end, as they always are, and thicker at the other. But at the end of the day, this thing is going to lay out like about the width of a sheet of paper. And I'm saying you cut it a half inch. Your first cut is a half inch, and you're trying to roll this thing out so it's a half inch thick. And then you've got this flat piece of meat, not pita meat, a flat piece of meat that you can work with.
So this recipe of hers is called grilled flank steak with red peppers and Fontina cheese. And basically, if you do what Jop says and take your backstrap and butterfly it is the term, you put some parsley, basil, some garlic, zest of lemon. This is the cool thing for venison. Breadcrumbs, red peppers, and some EVO. And then you roll it up and you tie it with butcher's twine. And there's also spinach leaves and Fontina cheese in there. You throw that baby on the fire, and I'm telling you, you have the most gorgeous display you'd ever want to serve.
Wow, cool. Coming up next, some things to grill from your fall kill. Stick with us. We'll be back.
When I see you hanging about with anyone, it's not unusual to see me cry.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than a half a percent of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120 where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
Hi, this is Sal Cipriano, CEO of Better Made Snack Foods. Ever wonder why our Better Made potato chips taste so good? They're made with homegrown potatoes from West Michigan farms. So when you're driving to the beach, a festival, or a ballpark, and you pass by those farms, think of Better Made potato chips. Better yet, stop by your favorite grocer or convenience store and pick up a bag for the trip. For nearly 90 years, Better Made Snack Foods are Better Made.
We live it, we love it. Allen Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen. It's more than a sport, it's a way of life. Your satisfaction's been our name. Since 59, been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it. Allen Bob Sports. Sportsman.
This is Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Yeah, welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend, December the 8th. We're fastly approaching the Christmas and New Year's holiday season. And next week, Barbecue Bob and I, you're going to want to tune in because we've got gifts for the griller. Maybe you get your significant other to listen in next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. And we're gonna go through a long list of gifts for the holidays, but
send her the podcast.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. There you go. But right now we're still sticking with maybe some of the things that you were successful in your hunting this fall, and what do we do with all this You know, if you got one deer, you got 60 pounds of meat in your freezer. You got two, double it. But there's a lot of other things. There's bunnies out there and all kinds of goodies that are, it's fall hunting season. So take it away, Bob. What are you thinking, man?
Hey, welcome back. Thanks. And don't forget, you can catch me on Twitter. It's Grillin' Guy. The Grillin' Guy's website is a good place to get all these recipes. There's a search bar at the top. Just type in your keywords like I even do on my own site because I have to look up an old recipe, and that's a fast, easy way for me. It'll come right up to it, and you can download, print the pages. It's friendly. It's easy. Use it as a resource. But fall kills, well, before we do that, there's kind of an issue I'm reading a bunch online, and I'm watching the whole thing with the CWD and all the
wasting disease,
all
right?
All the controversy about, you know, QDM, quality deer management, all this stuff. And there's a lot of opinions bouncing around about, do you kill a buck or do you kill a doe? Like I said, I got bitched out by that guy for buck shaming. And it's caused me to really think about how do you approach the wildlife in your area. And I guess what it comes down to is if you're an avid outdoorsman and you've figured out what your area is like and what your herd is looking like, you just make the decision on your own because you're going to anyway. But, I mean, for me personally,
looking through the scope,
yeah,
that's what you're going to do.
Yeah, so I'm kind of decided that I'm just going to make the decision on my own, and maybe that 8-point that ran by me should have been down.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and there's a whole lot of factors that go into that,
but,
obviously.
But there's quite a controversy in Michigan and many states right now based on some of these diseases floating around the herds. I also read a really cool article, and I posted it on my personal page, but it's about – The government putting all these gray wolves into Montana and what it's done to the elk herd out there. And there's some fantastic information. There's a lot of people wanting to sell the fact that them doing it has balanced out wildlife. And there are locals out there that are telling you it's not the case. And one of the problems that they had was they introduced the gray wolf to replace a timber wolf. Well, the gray wolf is from Canada, so he speaks funny, and he's actually a bigger, stronger breed, more of a super predator than the timber wolf, which is a predator. So I think that elk population might go over the cliff in Montana. So, you know, when you look at the wildlife, and we're all responsible, we're all stewards of the earth, right? And we're supposed to keep it clean and do all these things. Just read and pay attention and make your own decisions. I apologize if my opinion was offensive to anybody, because I'm finding out that there's an awful lot more to consider than just that QDM philosophy that I followed for years.
Sure. Well, you know, a well-rounded man is well-read, right?
That's right.
So, yeah, follow up on stuff. You bet. So let's talk a little bit about if you did take some venison this fall. As a matter of fact, the season's still open.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm bow hunting right now.
Right. And
I'm gonna get a doe.
Okay, man. Yeah, right. I know you got the empty freezer syndrome.
No,
right?
It's so
right
full. Now.
Right. But anyway, we were, as we mentioned earlier, if you just tuned in at the beginning of the show, we talked about we were out at Alan Bob Sports this week, helping them with some holiday sales stuff and an event that they did. And one of the things that we did out there were venison sliders. And, you know, probably the largest poundage of meat that you're going to get from your animal is going to be put into some sort of ground hamburger or a sausage or something of that nature that is a ground meat. And one of the things you can do with it, obviously, is burgers. Venison has a unique flavor. I'm not going to call it strong. It's just unique, right? And so
it's good.
One of the things you can do with it is if you serve it in smaller portions, it's a great introductory to people.
That's a wonderful thing you just said there.
Right.
And I agree completely.
Right. So one of the ways you can do that is just a slider, because it's two or three bites, and you can camouflage it if you need to with a little Dijon mustard or something and a pickle, which is what we did. We made them simple sliders. We took a pickle chip, dill pickle. You could do it with a sweet one, though, too, if you wanted to. But we used dill and a little bit of a Dijon mustard on a bun. And you can buy slider buns in any grocery store now.
Slider over to me then.
Right, exactly. And
so here's the deal. Bites. If you're using pure venison, and most of us are going to do that, I am personally not a fan of mixing beef with ground beef with venison.
Why not?
I just like a venison burger or slider because it's a wonderful meat. It's very lean. It's very healthy. And I'm on this kick. I'm trying desperately to not be such a fat guy. And
way overrated, Bob.
Well,
stick with those you know, brother.
Well, right now it's working for me. And I you know, once you start losing weight and you're burning calories, you can't introduce a bunch of fats like this beer and expect to keep losing weight. You start storing again. So my point is, with a venison slider, you can put a little bit of fat in it, and it's a good virgin EVO. And then you can put a little blue cheese or some goat cheese or something like that. Shredded cheddar works great. A mozzarella, it's a good binder. But also a nice onion or green olives or all that stuff. And then you have added some fat to it so it will stick together and it won't be a hockey puck. Right. And then cook it to medium rare.
Right. Hot grill, crisp it up on the outside. You want it medium rare on the inside, juicy, right? And that's, ironically, that's this beer from Petoskey, what it's called. But it's a juicier bite, and that's the thing when people eat game. It's overcooked most
yes.
of the time.
Yes,
and therefore, it's really dry and
or
flavorless.
Or they hung it, and they thought they'd age it, which you're, according to Tim Sobey anyway, you should not be aging venison. That's
right.
One of the things that you should not age. My good buddy Greg Brown from Smyrna gave me this recipe years ago, and it is really good. You take backstraps, and again, you butterfly them, just like you were talking about earlier.
Okay.
So you've got your nice, it looks like a flank steak, a nice flat piece of meat. Tenderize it, which I would tell you with those round steak, if you're going to make skewers, you'd want to tenderize those too. If you have a nice meat hammer, pound the
meat out of them.
Yep. Marinate them in a teriyaki blend, this whole butterflied backstrap. And then you cut into wedges, real simple wedges, an apple, jalapenos, and onion. You take those wedges and you put them into that butterfly scenario so that when you roll it up, they're aligned properly and they'll roll. Right? So
right.
You want them lengthwise. You roll them up, and then you tie it together. You wrap it in bacon, and then you tie it.
Don't miss that step.
Then you tie it together, or you stick it with toothpicks. Yep.
If you've got butcher's twine, use it. Toothpicks,
they
fragments
burn.
Of them, they burn, and fragments of them get lost in there, and that's the last thing you want to do.
You could wreck them that way.
Well, damn near killed them. But anyway.
And then you grill it on all sides to a desired level. I'm going to tell you, with all this filling in there, it takes a little bit. But you don't want to kill it on the outside to cook it on the inside. So all you've got is jalapeno, apple, and onions inside. So they can be as crispy as you like.
Coming up next, we're going to be talking about the main protein on your holiday table. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats, as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Teas, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering better Michigan beer. Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line. Engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for
welcome rank. Back. You listen to The Grillin' Guys on The Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, we from time to time get a lot of inquiries about the main piece of protein on your holiday table, whether that's a prime rib, whether that's a steak, or excuse me, a turkey, or whether that is a ham. Any one of those is something that you can do on a smoker, and we want to talk a little bit about that.
Speaking of hams, welcome back.
Yeah.
You just heard from the ham right there. Mr. Fongers, thanks so much, because who does not love a piece of cake for breakfast?
Right.
Yeah, you're right, Jop. And when I think of Christmas, I think of my bride's Christmas dinner. And she got the recipe from Duba's. And we do this every year, but it's worthy, because their recipe for prime rib was legendary. And I right. know you ate there years ago.
Yeah.
Especially the old restaurant they had.
Right.
Duba's was a legendary beef house, very high-end, old-style, swanky cocktail lounge restaurant in right. Grand Rapids. They moved to a big, beautiful new place. And then they changed the freeway and everything, and they got bought out by a hotel. But they went away. I think, like, the owner died or something. Kind of like Safies, you
certainly,
know. It was another legendary
happens.
Old-school restaurant before chains were all we had.
Right.
There aren't many standalone old-school restaurants like Tillman's.
Family-owned and stuff, you know. Right.
So this place was like that. And their prime rib, I'm going to say a third of the people that went in there ordered prime rib. And if you go to the Grillin'
Guys, it wasn't just a Friday night thing.
Oh,
it was every night.
And you better wear a collar, and you should probably have a tie and a jacket. But you're going to pay a long dollar, but you are going to impress whoever was with you, because you're going to have the meal of a lifetime. If you got prime rib, and my wife always liked to get the end cut.
Oh,
you know,
man,
chicks,
way too
well,
done for
no,
you
well,
and me.
Well, here you go again, being open-minded, just
right?
like the QDM and all that. I get it. First of all, when you get the end cut, it's big. So you're taking some home, and there's all that crust on the outside.
Oh, sure.
There's some beautiful bark. And with their recipe, if you go to thegrillinguys.com, punch in prime rib, and you'll find Maureen's Christmas Prime Rib, I think is the title.
Right.
But it's basically Duba's, and it says that in the explanation. If you're going to do it on your smoker, which is how I do it, last year I fed 275 men at Impact Church
right.
using that recipe on my smoker. This year I'll be doing the same thing, same recipe, probably be ready to feed 300. I don't care if you're feeding three. This recipe is beautiful because you put it on a beautiful rib roast and bake it to perfection, roast it, smoke it, however you do it, and my mouth's watering. I can't even hardly articulate it properly. But one thing I do differently now is I get it from Sobeys, of course, and I have Sobeys butchers carve the ribs out
the
of
bones.
It, and I take it. I don't truss them together.
Okay.
I roast those separately.
Okay.
And if I put that same rub on those ribs, now as I park that roast, I've got those ribs to take off. I'll put those on a baker's rack on the counter and let them aromatically just kill everyone in the room while I take and wrap that roast and cover it and park it for a half hour, either in a cooler or not, and depending on how long I have to wait.
So why are you parking it? What's the significance of that?
Well, resting meat is,
right?
I think most people probably know by now how to rest meat and why you should, but for those of you who aren't sure if you should do it, it's pretty much a good idea because you want to let the juices of the muscle recirculate. They got hot and they traveled, and when they were traveling, they were cooking various pieces of the meat. Well, as it starts to cool, they need to return to their seat before recess.
Right. Got it.
Teacher said.
Right.
But here's the beauty. When you do them separately, you have some really nice ribs. Now, the butcher's carved most of the good stuff off, but trust me, there's plenty of good stuff still there.
Right.
And here's what I really like about not having the bone there. That roast cooks evenly. I don't have a more rare spot than others. I can dial in my rare spot to the center of that roast,
right,
instead of having that, sections that are supposed to be medium, medium well,
right,
having a rare spot. Because, again, dealing with certain people who don't want to see red,
right,
you're trying to please people. You're not,
right,
trying to make them eat it your way.
Right.
You're trying to please people.
You're going
to
get that golf ball-sized core going down the center, but from the ends, you're still just like the piece that Maureen likes, right? That end, you're going to have two end pieces,
well done,
that are going to be a little more medium well.
Yep.
When you're trying to get that center into that medium rare zone, and that's at what temperature?
Probably 130 in the center on,
right,
on a roast, because it's going to rise. It's,
right,
a big muscle.
And as you park it, it continues to cook, right?
A little bit.
Yeah, a little,
yep,
bit.
They,
yep,
say 5 degrees. I don't necessarily think it always does that, depending on the size of it, but it's a, you know, safe,
right,
area. So, like, case in point, I made her filet mignon a couple nights ago because I got this half a cow and I'm trying to use up all the nice pieces, and we're working hard on the place, and I thought, man, I can,
it's on your diet,
I can have a steak,
right,
yeah, I can have a lean and green meal, and the rest is all sawdust. And so I grilled her. Now, mine came out rare because it was in the dark. I'm in a hurry. I'm, you know, cooking at 8 o'clock at night, you know, kind of while doing something else, who knows, plumbing or whatever. Not my best grill job.
Not
but
gas?
Still
you, weren't, you weren't installing gas lines,
it
were
was
you?
Actually working then yet. I hadn't killed the gas line. But so mine came out rarer than I wanted it to, and there's a cure for that. But hers came out like perfect medium, medium well. But when you cut a tenderloin or any good piece of red meat, steak, it's kind of red inside, even though it's black on the outside.
Right.
And in some people's minds, like my bride's, that translates to, ew, it's, right, bloody. No, right, it's just pink. It's not bloody. There's,
right,
no blood on your plate. It should be pink on the inside.
Right.
If it's brown, you're well done, and you
there's
no chance
it
of resuscitating.
You're eating hockey pucks at, ugh, that point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So what about a ham, Bob? I know you used to work in a factory that produced
hams. I did.
But with regard to that, most hams that people buy are already cooked. They're already,
yeah,
cured.
Yes.
They're getting a piece of that. What,
yeah,
do we do with that on a smoker or a grill,
yeah,
to bring it, or a spiral cut or,
right,
whatever? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, there's lots of methods. Well, like if you used to get the Heavenly or Honey Baked or any of that stuff, they would tell you just to put it on the counter like a real man.
Right. And it's time for some man law.
Now you're a man! A man, man, man! Now you're a man! A manny, manny, man! A man, man, man! You are now a man! You're a man! Now you're a man!
This rule was written for you. If you take beer to a party, the tuck rule is in play when leaving. You may take one beer max, but only if the beer will fit in your pocket.
When you're leaving the party?
Yes.
I'm not so sure that you want to do that. That's one for the ditch. That's a little bit,
yeah,
that's maybe not right where
I
we want to go.
I see Pabst Blue Ribbon has a Pabst jacket. Have you seen that?
Right,
yeah. It holds a 12-pack.
Yeah. No, that's not me. But I, you know.
No, you're more of a case man.
I had a brother-in-law. I'm going to turn that around and what you should bring to the party, because I had a brother-in-law that used to come over, and he hardly would even say hello, and he'd blow down to my bar and look and see what beer I had for him to drink for the next 5 hours while he's at my holiday party, and that SOB never brought a drop with him. Years, year after year after year.
That's why you got rid of him.
Right. So I used to jack with him a little bit and take my good stuff and put it in the other fridge, that I had that wasn't out in the bar area.
Back
you
know,
you had a
back,
you had a backup
yeah,
fridge, right?
Sure.
Right. So you put the good stuff back there and just leave the crap that I didn't want to drink, right, out there for him.
And he'd
open
it.
And I'm like, hey, here you go. Have one of these. And I'm laughing to myself. And he's like, oh, that's pretty dang good, you know? And,
yeah, see, what a waste of good beer that would have been.
Right, exactly. Because he didn't really care.
Because he's down the road now.
Right, yeah. He had two criteria. It had to be cold and within reach.
Well, talking
right?
about talking about the ham, we've all been there when somebody wants to, like Mom used to do, bake the snot out of a ham for 4 hours before you serve it. Yeah. So by the time she sliced it, put it on the table, and it sat there for a half hour, you could put new soles on your shoes.
Right.
So, no, we're not going to do that. So my brother's having Christmas for my side of the family this year, and he says he's doing ham.
Oh.
So I had to cue him, and I had to, like, quiz him on how are you going to do it? And you know what? He had it dialed right in. He knew exactly.
Cool.
I'm just going to warm it up a little bit.
Right.
Great. Then I'll eat some.
All right. Coming up next, it's still football season. A great pizza on the grill is something you might want to try. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071. If your window sticks, slips, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale. Or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, we're going to bring this train to the station. Barbecue Bob, the winter season is upon us. There's some challenges when you fire up your grill in this weather when it's, you know, 25 degrees out. But it's also very rewarding and kind of fun to get out there. It's a different part of the season. You might have a different toddy in your hand when you're grilling, and it depends on what you're making. And one of the things that you and your family do a lot more than I do are pizzas. So let's talk a little bit about maybe the equipment that you need to do the pizza right in the winter, but then also maybe some tips and techniques.
Sure. Thanks for that that bumper music, Mr. Fongers. A little shout out to all our Vietnam veterans out there. Winter pizza on the grill. Couple ways to do it. Number one, if you have a pellet grill, first of all, the thing is fan-driven. So you know what that makes that job? That makes it a convection oven.
There you go.
Okay? So you can crank that thing up as high as you can, and get that hot air swirling around in there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, depending on the brand you have, you may or may not be blowing around some ash. So if you want to test out your pellet grill and see how much fly ash, they call it, how much fly mm-hmm. ash you get.
Ash that's flying around.
There you go. You're yep. so smart. Put a piece of
always
tin foil on your grate. Crank that thing on high and let it run for 15 minutes and see if there's a bunch of ash on your grate. If there is, that is called a grill you don't want to use on high to be safe. But you can do it with your grill. If you have a powerful grill, especially like I do it on my Cajun, I put a pizza stone on it, and I put that coal grate up at a higher level. I put some nice charcoal on there, and I get her good and hot, running about 450. And I just bring out my pizza on the spit that I have and just slide it off onto that hot stone and grill that baby in the dead of winter with the lid closed. And I'll tell you what, it's the best wood-fired pizza you could ask for. If you can make a good crust and you know how to make a good pizza, it works great in the winter too. And warm pizza in the winter, I don't know, to me it's just, it's kind of like hot bread with a bonus.
Yep.
Hot bread in the winter is, my wife makes awesome bread. My mom taught her how to make bread. Mm-hmm. And she's, you've eaten that homemade bread out of the oven before.
No question.
It's just, I mean, just a big pound of butter and the electric knife and just carve away. But a pizza on a grill is great, but on a pellet grill, it can be fantastic.
Yep. And it doesn't dry out. It's not a super hot heat. It's that convective heat that works really well. So pellet grills are a great gift for anybody that's looking to maybe spend a little more, $400, $500, $600, $700 on a holiday gift for the griller in their life, because these are a set it and forget it type of grill. And so many guys in their busy lifestyles, this is just a little more friendly. You just come out, you turn it on. They got a digital temperature control. And if we've never taught you anything, or rather anything about this, is that temperature is the key. Consistent temperature is the key to a great grill.
That's right. As we approach the Christmas season, don't forget the reason for the season, all right?
Yep.
It's a wonderful time of the year to reflect and to thank God for everything he gave you, including the birth of Christ.
Yep, and this show, because you and I met at our church.
That's right.
Where we started this thing about 10 years ago when we did
Didn't
that.
Didn't have beer there, though.
It is, maybe before or after, though. Anyway, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Happy holidays to you and yours. We enjoy this show every week. We hope you do too. And tune in next week, because we'll be talking about holiday gifts. We'll talk to you then.
And I wish you just left me.